Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 116 in the series entitled How to Cultivate Divine Awe, Outer Fear versus Inner Fear, Chapter 43. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
Choice of words, you say, couldn't be written anywhere else. It's very, very powerful. And now we're ready to begin the 43rd chapter of the Tanya. I will, however, begin with a story. This concerns the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash. His name was Reb Shmuel of Lubavitch, and he would frequently visit the resting place of his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was a grandson of the Baal HaTanya. The Rebbe Maharash, Reb Shmuel of Lubavitch, did not want any of his Hasidim or anybody present at the resting place of his father while he was there. There was only one man who was present, his Gentile coachman, who would bring him there in his coach and his wagon from his home to the resting place, and he would remain there together with him throughout the time he spent there, and he would assist him if he needed any assistance. The Hasidim of the Rebbe Maharash, knowing that their Rebbe spent there lots of time, were eager to find out, what is he doing there? What is going on for him in there? So they would inquire and question this Gentile, but he was practically sworn to secrecy. He wouldn't open his mouth. So like good chassidim, one day they offered this man a nice drink. And they invited him to a fabrengen, but he was the only one who was saying l'chaim.
Who was the only one? The person who first day in Rekit.
And one L'chaim attracted another L'chaim and welcomed another drink and another swig of vodka and so forth, until they realized that he's well into his well into the road of intoxication. And when he was totally drunk, they finally asked him, what happens with the Rebbe at the resting place of the Tzemach Tzedek? So he says, I'll tell you the truth. Your Rebbe is a smart man. I know him personally for many years. He's intelligent. He's sharp. He's keen. He's sophisticated. He's very refined. And I practically consider myself totally insignificant, inadequate in his presence. But one thing, when it comes to courage, I am much greater than he is. This man just lacks courage. You should see what happens. He walks into the cemetery and he walks into the gravesite. He starts trembling with such awe, with such a fear I only see in the faces and the eyes of chickens when a wolf barges into a chicken coop. He says, I'm a strong man. I'm not fearful of cemeteries. I go into the gravesite and, you know, I don't give a hoot. He says, this is just one thing that I'm totally superior to him. He's just frightened of the dead, he says. And he doesn't get this. Now, the 41st and 42nd chapters of Tanya were dedicated to the theme of Yiras Hashem, a fear of awe of Hashem, and how each Jew, the ordinary Jew, can attain it and can reach it. As the Alter Rebbe mentioned a few times in these two chapters, he was addressing basically a level of awe or fear that's defined in the literature of Chassidus as Yirat HaTov, a lower level of awe. Now the following chapter, the 43rd chapter, is dedicated to explore various levels of awe, levels that transcend the ranks and gradations discussed in the previous chapters, as well as levels in love and affection towards Hashem. And now we will learn inside, page 122, the fourth line, Perek Mem Gimel. V'hine, now, al yirat hatazu, concerning this level of yirat hatazu, concerning this level of awe, which is defined as Yirat HaTov, the lower level of fear, Shehi L'Kiyum Mitzvos of Yisbarach, which this level of fear is necessary for the fulfillment of Hashem's mitzvahs, B'pchin Isur Meirav Aseh Teif, in both areas of turning away from negativity and engaging, embracing, doing good. Amru, it was on this level of fear that our sages said, Imein Yirein Chachma. If there is no Yire, if there is no fear, there is no wisdom. Quoting Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the third chapter, the 17th Mishnah, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Imein Chachma Ein Yire, Imein Yirein Chachma. If there is no wisdom, there is no awe. And then he continues, and if there is no awe, there is no wisdom. So the Rambam, for example, in his commentary on the Mishnah, writes that what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is attempting to teach us is that each one of the two is necessary for the other one to be complete. Rabbeinu Yoina, in his commentary on the Mishnah, explains it more specifically, and he says, Imein Yirein Chachma, or fear of Hashem, must precede wisdom. If there will not be fear, there will not be wisdom, because if you don't fear Hashem, why should you bother to study, implement, integrate, and fulfill the wisdom of the Torah, the wisdom of Hashem. Ultimately, you will get repulsed by it, and you'll just abandon it. If you don't rectify your midos, as he puts it, if you do not experience a certain humbleness and awe of Hashem, you will not bother to acquire the wisdom of Torah and certainly not to implement it. But nonetheless, the question obviously still stands, what comes first? If there's no fear, there's no wisdom. If there's no wisdom, there's no fear. So what comes first? In order to have wisdom, you first have to have fear. But in order to have fear, you first have to have wisdom, which cannot come without fear. So you're dealing with a catch-22 situation. So the Alter Rebbe will explain in this chapter that there are two types of awe. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is addressing two different categories of year of awe. The lower level of awe, yirat hatov, that precedes wisdom. And on this level, he said and declared, imein yira ein chachma. This is what Alter Rebbe means, al zamru imein yira ein chachma. On this level, he declared, if we will not experience and integrate this level of fear, you will not be able to experience any true wisdom of Torah. And then there is a higher level of fear that he will address later on in the chapter that must follow wisdom. And on that level, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah said, "Imein chachma ein yira." If there's no wisdom, there's no yira, as he will go on to explain. Yes. You're right, true, but the Mishnah is saying that to truly be able to embrace the authentic wisdom of Torah in its entirety and in its truth and in its depth, one needs to have Yira. And Alter Rebbe continues, V'yesh ba, and in her, there is, what does he mean? In her, in this lower level of Yira of awe, there is p'chinis katnos or p'chinis gadlos, a quality of smallness and a quality of greatness. And Alter Rebbe goes on to explain what is the quality of greatness of gadlos in yirat hatov, on the lower level of fear. The hainu, this means, k'shenimshech es p'chinas yirizu, when this category of fear is a result, from one's contemplation on the greatness of Hashem, the ihu memale kol almin, that he, Hashem, fills all the worlds, and from the earth to the heavens is a distance of 500 years, quoting a statement in the Gemara, as we shall see, etc. And the distance from one heaven to the next, etc., is also a journey of 500 years, the Talmud says. And the feet of the angels, of the angelic beings, measure up to them all. When one contemplates the greatness of Hashem by contemplating these truths, so the awe that is result comes as a result of it is called Yira of Gadlos, a greater level of awe. There's a quality of greatness, of largeness to that awe. And Alter Rebbe continues, V'chein ishtal shulus kala ilmus. Similarly with one's contemplation and meditation on the evolution of all the worlds. Lamai, lamai, la, one above the other. Adreim Hamailas, to the topmost heights of the most spiritual worlds. When one contemplates all of this evolution of the worlds and comes to realize somewhat of the greatness of Hashem, the awe that's born as a result of this meditation has in it the quality of greatness. Now, what is the feat with the angels? How does it come in there? This is not Moed Katan, it's a Gemara in Chagiga. Chagiga, right. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel Amir Aleph, quotes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's quite an interesting piece of Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "What reply did the heavenly voice give to that wicked man of Nebuchadnezzar when he declared," and I quote the Pasuk in Yeshaya Perik Yudalit, "Elal b'mosei av edam elelyon." The Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, declared and said, "I will ascend over the tops of the clouds." Al b'mosei av, over the tops of the clouds. Adam elelyon, I will liken myself to the Most High. Following that declaration, he received a response from heaven. And the response said as follows: "Rasha ben Rasha, wicked man, the son of a wicked man, a descendant of Nimrod, who caused the entire world to rebel against Hashem's kingdom. How many are the years of a human being? How long does a person live? 70 years, 80 years. And the Gemara continues, the voice continued to say, a person lives 70, 80 years, but the distance from the earth till the first heaven is a 500-year journey. The thickness of a heaven is another 500-year journey. The space between each of the heavens is again a 500-year journey." The Gemara explains there earlier that there are seven heavens. Now, what's exactly the meaning in this, that there are seven heavens, is something that's still dealt with in contemporary times. Many of the commentators discuss that there's an argument there. There are two heavens or seven heavens. As some of the commentators say, there's no real dispute. Two of the heavens are astronomical heavens. And the other five, the Gemara refers to spiritual heavens. But in any case, whatever the meaning is, the Gemara is saying here that the journey from earth to the first heaven is 500 years. The thickness of that heaven is 500 years. The space between that and the next heaven is 500 years, and so on and so forth. L'mayla man is Chayis HaKadosh. Above the seven heavens you have the Chayis HaKadosh, which are the holy angelic beings, a certain level of angels. And Ragle HaChayis Kineged Kulam. The feet, the legs, which means the lowest level of these angelic beings, are equivalent to all the above mentioned spans. All the above mentioned spans from the earth, spanning all through the heavens, the legs of the Chayis is equivalent to them all. And then the Gemara continues, Karsuli HaChayis, the ankles of these angelic beings are equivalent to all of them, including to the legs of the angelic beings. Shaike HaChayis, Keneged Kulam, the lower parts of the legs are equivalent to them all. The middle parts of the legs are equivalent to them all. The upper parts of the legs, Yarchei HaChayis, are equivalent to them all. Gufei HaChayis, the torsos of the angelic beings, are equivalent to them all. Tzavari HaChayis, the necks of the angelic beings, again, are equivalent to them all. And the heads of the Chayis are equivalent to them all. And then still you have the horns, the Karnei HaChayis, which are equivalent to all of them. And above that, the Yerushtai of the Gemara says, Kisei HaKavet. The throne of glory, the throne of glory. And again, the legs of the Kisei HaKavod are equivalent to them all. The throne itself is equivalent to them all. And then Melech Keil V'Kayim, Melech Keil Chai V'Kayim, Ram V'Nisa Sheichin Aleim, the King, the living and enduring God, exalted and uplifted, rests upon them. Va'ata Marta Ella b'Moseyav Adam le'Elyon. And you, Nebuchadnezzar, a human being, said, "I will ascend over the tops of the clouds. I will liken myself to the Most High, to Hashem." On the contrary, Achel Sha'ol Tura Dal Yarkasevoy, only to the netherworld will you be lower, to the bottom of the pit, which is the continuation of that verse in Yeshaya Perik Yidalot. So this is the Talmud Alter Rebbe is referring here when he keeps on saying etc., etc. When one contemplates this and realizes and becomes truly aware of the greatness of Hashem, that this expresses the awe that is resulted of it, has in it the quality of godliness, the quality of greatness. Now, it's interesting, he doesn't explain What type of awe is the awe that possesses the quality of smallness, of katnos? He jumps right away to godless. And the obvious reason for that is because that was the awe discussed in the previous chapters, in chapter 41 and 42. Now he goes to the next step of greatness, so he explains that, albeit briefly. And here we have to understand what the Alter Rebbe is saying. One ought never to lose sight of the fact that fear is not love. Yira is not ava. And these chapters are primarily dedicated to fear, not to love. Love will begin being explored in the continuation of 43 and then continue through the following chapters. The primary difference between the two emotions, we discussed this more at length in chapter 41, is love agrees with your identity. Fear does not agree with your identity. Love elevates your consciousness. In love, you find yourself in a new way, in the presence, in the intimacy, in the closeness of a beloved one. Fear is not something one enjoys. If you're enjoying your fear, you're not experiencing fear. Love is something a person quells with, enjoys deeply. And one has to have this in mind, that in all of these chapters, the Alter Rebbe is addressing the concept of fearing Hashem, of being awed by Hashem. And truth be told, to learn this today, in today's day and age, it's very difficult. And I'll tell you why. For love, there are infinite parables and metaphors one can give from the contemporary life. Beginning first and foremost with examples of relationships, human relationships. Everybody experiences some type of relationship, positive or negative. Everybody yearns for love in some way or another. And therefore that can serve as a very good metaphor to understand the deeper level of love, spiritual love, divine love. Awe, fear is an obsolete art in today's day and age. It's very difficult to find a living example of it in any form of life, in most places. The metaphor that Chassidus always gives of a king, of monarchy, is obsolete today. Totally, for all practical purposes. And Yiras Hashem is an unpopular mitzvah in today's day and age. Avas Hashem is still unpopular, but it's much more popular. People talk much more about the love of Hashem more than the fear of Hashem. And this has to do with the nature of the generation we live in, and due to many blessings of the generation, but it also robs us of the opportunity to experience Yira. Now, the Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of chapter 41 that awe, fear of Hashem, not love, is the ultimate foundation of Yiddishkeit. It's the beginning, the core, the source of Yiddishkeit. As we discussed then, the reasons, first of all, it's much more enduring than love. In Chassidus is an expression, Ava is geschmacker, aber Yira is gesinter. Love is much more delightful, but awe is healthier. Since love involves your identity, it's also subjected to fluctuations and to many changes. Awe is sometimes much more enduring because it doesn't involve you, and therefore it's not contingent upon your moods and so on and so forth. On a deeper level, that Rebbe explained, Yiddishkeit is not just about appreciating Hashem, but it's about serving Hashem. And to become a servant of Hashem, not a child, a servant of Hashem, that's only with the prerequisite of awe, fear. Now here the Alter Rebbe is saying in 43 that in Yirat HaTov, in the lower level of awe, there are the two levels of smallness and greatness. It's very brief, it's difficult to decipher, so what I'm going to explain a little bit in the following words is based. There's a pamphlet called Kuntrus HaAvoda, the pamphlet of divine service. It was authored by the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in the third chapter, it's quite a fascinating pamphlet. And the third chapter is devoted to dissect these two chapters in Tanya, 42 and 43. And part of what I'll be discussing soon is based on what he writes there. The first level, which the Alter Rebbe does not address here, the quality of smallness and fear of Hashem, is that which he called throughout these chapters in 41 and 42, Yiras Chet, fear of sin. This is what he defines as awe that's characterized by the quality of smallness. There is a lower level of fear, which he doesn't even discuss. It's called Yiras Ha'einish, the fear of punishment. Some people experience fear of Hashem because He's very mighty and powerful, and He controls your life, and He can or will punish you, whether in this world or in the next world. But as Chassidus and Chabad literature, it's discussed, this level is barely ever mentioned. Not because it's not useful, sometimes it's very useful, but because it's considered a very extremely primitive and low level in one's spiritual service. And although at times of crisis, of spiritual crisis, it ought to be employed, it's not really fear of Hashem, it's fear of myself. You know, I'm scared for my own sake. I'm just scared of my body, of my future, of my destiny. There's no experience of something beyond me, and therefore it doesn't really go into the category of Yiras Hashem. The first lowest level is called Yiras Chet, fear of sin. Yes? That's interesting. That's interesting. You're saying the fear of punishment would have the same drawbacks like love, because it begins and ends with me. That's an interesting point. Right. And therefore it doesn't depict, by definition, it doesn't depict what year is about. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Now the first level of Yiras Chet, fear of sin, is what Alter Rebbe elaborated at length in last chapter, resulting of the awareness, the true awareness that Hashem is gazing at me, examining and scrutinizing at every moment my innards, my heart, my deeds, my words. And as the Alter Rebbe put it, V'chol tza'ad of Yisper, He counts each one of your steps, every move, every breath, every nuance, every utterance. And because of that awareness, the person is overtaken by a sense of fear to behave in a destructive, immoral, and a wrong way. And Alter Rebbe doesn't even address it, because this, he just says, this is the level of smallness, this is the quality of smallness, because he relies on what he discussed in the earlier chapter. And one can understand why this would be defined as an awe that's characterized by smallness, by katnos. I mean, imagine, to give a crude example, if you go to a very fancy reception in an extraordinary mansion, and a very, very fancy place. Splendorous, exquisite, and in the middle, chabdiran acheshik, to spit. It happens sometimes. Either you need to or you want to spit. Right. So there's some people who have no problem. The only thing that would prevent them from spitting is that somebody is looking at them. You know, the very fact you know somebody's looking at you, just another man. Not because he's going to punish you, not even because he's going to tell upon you. He's not going to publicize it. But just the fact that somebody's gazing at me impresses upon you a certain fear, a certain reluctance to spit. However you're going to explain it, perhaps it intensifies to you the sense of what you're going to do. When you do it on your own, you immediately know how to repress it. You know, since you're fulfilling a habit or an instinct or a need or a craving, you repress it, you bury it immediately. You don't allow it to be noticeable, even to yourself. When somebody's looking at you, it just, It highlights the event in a much more powerful way. I'm spitting. It won't be dismissed as if it didn't happen, because he's objective about it. He's not fulfilling his craving. So you're apprehensive to do the same thing you would do otherwise. Now, this is Yira, but it's a katnos. You haven't transcended your smallness. This is fear that's characterized by a quality of smallness. You on your own haven't changed. You're ready to spit. It's irrelevant where you are. You haven't been affected. You haven't been reduced. It's just somebody else is gazing upon you, is looking at you, so it prevents you from doing something. Now, in the spiritual sense, in a Jew's life, there is a Jew who really comes to the recognition that Hashem is actually present at every moment. And he's gazing at him at every moment of his life. And as he discussed in 42, what it doesn't mean Hashem is gazing upon you, as we learned at length, he doesn't have eyes and he doesn't have ears. It's a deeper sense of gazing, a deeper sense as you experience what you're doing, as you experience what happens to yourself. That's how Hashem experiences what you do. And because of that, the Jew will prevent himself from doing certain things. And if this awareness is inculcated within him in a real way, 24 hours a day, the Alter Rebbe said, through a superficial meditation, you can have some level of awe that will prevent you from behaving in a negative way, and on the contrary, will encourage you to behave a certain way. And this is called Yiras Chet, the fear that drives you away, that keeps you away from sin, from immoral behavior. But this is awe that's defined by smallness. The person remains small. He hasn't been affected. He hasn't been changed. His Weltanschauung was not affected even in the slightest sense. He didn't lose anything of his ego, of his arrogance, of his ambitions, of his agendas, of his instincts. The eye remains the same. It's just somebody's looking at me. And since somebody's looking at me, I don't do certain things I would do otherwise. Now, you know, let's not underestimate this level of awe. He calls it smallness, but in this world it's quite large. It's quite an achievement. I wonder if there's a story about the Yid HaKadosh, one of the great Hasidic masters, is known as the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Yid from Pshischa. And he was a student of Reb David of Lelev, who introduced him, I believe, the first time to the Seer of Lublin, to the Chayza of Lublin, Rabbi Akiv Yitzchak Horowitz. Once, Reb David Lelever came to visit the student, the Yid HaKadosh. Reb David Lelever was known for his extraordinary Avos Yisrael, his love towards other Jews, to which he devoted his entire life. So when he came to visit him, he went to visit other Jews in that village to see how they're doing, to examine their welfare, and so on and so forth. And he was there for a very long time. When he finally came to the home of the Yid HaKadosh, he asked him, what were you doing there for such a long time? In one particular hut, he saw that he spent a long while there. So he said, I was watching two Jews, two relatives. One was an employer and one was an employee. And the employee was procrastinating in the work. He had a lot of work and he was very lazy. So the employer was screaming at him. And the employer told him, you know, if Hashem wouldn't be present right here, I would hit you. And he says, I was just impressed by the Yiras Shamayim. He was ready to hit the man, but if Hashem wouldn't be present, I would hit you. He said, I couldn't leave. So one can understand the katnus of it, the smallness of this level. But nonetheless, in a world that is so opaque and so egocentric, that's often quite a sophisticated level of awe. But then the Alter Rebbe goes to discuss the next level of Yira, b'chinas gadlus, that has the quality of greatness to it. And here, the presence of godliness changes the human being. It reduces him. You know, I can walk into the palace of the king, and I can behave in a nice, humane, royal way, aristocratic fashion, because there are guards at every corner. So I don't do what I do in my home. That's called katmos. And then there is, I behave in an aristocratic, more sophisticated, more refined fashion because I find myself in the presence of greatness, in the presence of royalty, in the presence of aristocracy. It overwhelms me. The greatness of the place, the awesomeness of the place, removes from you, eradicates from you the desire to spit. You don't need a sign. It's forbidden to spit and there's a video camera watching you. You essentially don't want to do it. You're exposed to a new world that overwhelms you. It blows you away a little bit. You're uncomfortable with being your regular self. Your mannerisms is naturally elevated. And this is what Alter Rebbe means. A fear that comes from contemplating the greatness of Hashem. Apparently, it's very similar to how the Rambam describes Yira. The Rambam, in his Mishneh Torah, in Hilchis Yesodei HaTorah, in Perek Beis, the second chapter of Yesodei HaTorah, in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, what's the way? How can a person reach love and fear of Hashem? And the Rambam, in his powerful choice of words, says, when a person contemplates Hashem's deeds and Hashem's creatures that are extraordinary and marvelous, and he sees his infinite wisdom, so immediately, the Rambam says, a person is near to l'achayrav. He recoils backward, and he experiences a real sense of awe and fear. V'yodeya shehu bir yaktana shfeila afeila, oimeid bedas kalo mu'uto lifnei tamim deyes. He realizes that he's a small, inferior, lowly, dark, opaque creature, standing with a very light and minor sense of wisdom and awareness in the presence of the complete one of knowledge. I once read about Reb Zusha of Anapali, who was a very close friend of the Alter Rebbe. They both learned at the feet of the Maggid of Mizrich. He had a defect in his digestive system that caused him a lot of bodily complications. And it was one night he was particularly feeling ill, and he went out of the Beis Medrash, and it was a beautiful night, and he looked up at the sky and he saw the stars. And Reb Zusha began trembling. And he began trembling in such a powerful way that a lot of blood that amassed in his system was released, which is what fear sometimes does to somebody. And it actually healed him. And that sense of awe just had such an effect on his body, it healed him. What happened? This is the story they tell. Now, what occurred? When one stands face to face with the world, one senses a certain spirit, a certain presence that surpasses any ability to comprehend it. When you really contemplate the world, it's just too much for you. It's too much for us. The world is crammed with marvel. Now, usually we don't pay attention to this because we're so stressed and burdened and overwhelmed and pressured, we fail to respond or to tune into the mystery of the universe, to its awesomeness. All the wonder is dimmed, usually by our indifference. The Baal Shem Tov once said that the world is replete with spiritual radiance. The world is replete with sublime secrets, Seydus al Yoinim, as he put it. But a small hand held against the eye hides it all. You know, it's like if you'll take out a coin and you'll place it in front of your eye, you won't be able to see the large mountain in front of you. In other words, just the vanities of living block out the sight of the infinite light. But when you do contemplate upon this, it just gives us somewhat of an appreciation of Hashem's greatness, the one who fills all the entire world. It just gives a person some appreciation of the greatness of Hashem. Whereas the Alter Rebbe put it, when you realize that He fills this entire world, the earth, and then the heavens, and everything the heavens includes, and the angelic beings beyond the heavens, until the throne of glory. And then the Alter Rebbe continues, when you contemplate the evolution of all of the worlds, all of the spiritual worlds, in other words, beyond the present physical world and this cosmos, all of the universes, it just gives somewhat of appreciation of the greatness of Hashem. And living in the presence of greatness does something to a human being. It presses upon you a certain sense of inadequacy. The ego is reduced someone. A person's behavior is refined. They say, for example, that even illiterate or peasant-like, very simple people who serve as guards in museums, but they serve as guards in museums for 30, 40 years, they don't understand one piece of art on the wall. But it changes them. When you look at a guard who served in a museum for 30 years and a guard who served in a prison for 30 years, it's two different people. They might both be illiterate. But living in the presence of a slum affects a person. Living in the presence of greatness, it does something to you. It changes your dimension. It affects you. It reduces your ego. Your sensitivity is a much deeper sensitivity. Zogda Alter Rebbe, you have to remember that you're not living or breathing in the presence of mediocrity. We are living in the presence of greatness. We fail to appreciate this, because when you hang around in gas stations or in banks, or in the doctor's offices, or in traffic, it blocks out this infinite light. When somebody really becomes aware of the fact that he's living in the presence of Hashem, it's not so much Hashem is looking at me, and therefore I won't do this. That's like you walk into the palace and you don't behave a certain way because the guard is watching you. But then there's just being in the presence of the palace, it changes your perspective. So when one takes seriously the concept that Hashem is here, right here, you are breathing, you're walking, you're moving, you're speaking, you're thinking, you're feeling in the presence of real greatness. That inculcates in a person a reduction of self. The ego is reduced. There's a certain awe, there's a certain fear. So yiras chet, the fear of sin, doesn't come from the greatness of Hashem. It comes from the fact that Hashem is looking at him. He's not moved by godliness. He's not moved by transcendence. He doesn't feel smaller because of the fact that somebody is looking at him. The yira of godless that has the quality of greatness is when one meditates upon the greatness of Hashem, that creates another type of awe. Now here, in the past weeks, a few good questions were asked, and I never answered them because I was waiting for this. We'll understand some of part of the choice of words the Alter Rebbe used in the previous chapters that you asked and somebody else asked. If you'll take a look, you asked us on Daf Sama Chamed Aleph, in the middle of chapter 42, the Alter Rebbe said that in order to reveal a Jew's sense of awe, Bebchinas Yiras Chet, the line beginning with the words Yiras Chet, fear of sin, Liyusur Meira B'Maisa Dibura Machshav, he should turn away from negativity in deed and in word and in thought. So you have to think about it. He doesn't mention here engaging in good. Only later does he discuss engaging in good. In the beginning of this chapter, Mem Gimel, he right away says, L'kiyu mitzvosa v'b'chines sur meirav asei toiv. What happened to the asei toiv there? But this is the answer. The first level, yiras chet, serves primarily as something that takes you away from negative behavior. When somebody is gazing upon you, you don't engage in negative behavior. True. Since not engaging in positive behavior is negative, it will lead you also to engage in positive behavior. But it's not about the positive behavior that interests you. It's just not to engage in negative behavior. The higher sense of awe that comes from greatness moves a person to fulfill the mitzvahs in a positive way. And that's the explanation, that's what he says in Kuntrus HaAvodah there. That's the explanation why there he deletes the term of Asei Tov, to emphasize this detail, this nuance.
So in other words, this will do more for your actions than it will for your thoughts?
No. It will do more for turning you away from negativity than for you to embrace positivity. Practically speaking, you'll do the right thing also, but the main thing is because you don't want to do a negative thing. It's not because you want to do the right thing. You're not moved to do the right thing. And that also explains, yes. Now that also explains the order. There and there only, he says, in deed and in word and in thought. Everywhere else, usually in Tanya, it's thought and word and deed. And there, deed precedes them all. And the answer for that is, I think, is quite clear based on what the Rebbe Rashab writes in Kuntrus HaAvodah. What is more difficult to stay away from? Doing something negative or speaking negative words? Obviously, speaking, not to speak, is harder than not to do. And not to think is even more difficult than not to speak. In doing good, it's the other way around. Is it easier to do good or to think to do something good? I mean, that's the story of our life. We're always planning to do good things, right? It's always on the agenda. Speaking is also pretty easy. Doing is harder. So that's why when the Alter Rebbe inserts, Asei Toiv, doing good, he says in thought, and furthermore in words, and furthermore in deeds. When he says turning away from negativity, he says, indeed, and then furthermore, even in your words, and then furthermore, even in your thoughts. Going from a lower level to a higher level, to a more accomplished and a deeper level of accomplishment, a deeper level of achievement, spiritual achievement. Now the Alter Rebbe continues. Afalpikein. Nonetheless, Nikran, Afapike, nonetheless, Nikre Yirzu, Yirichitsainis Vitata. This fear is called an external and a lower fear.